Okay, we're in chapter 34 of The Great Controversy. If you weren't here last week and are wondering this week why we're not in Selected Messages Volume 1, we put that on the back burner for now because we stopped using Ellen White's writings on Sabbath day for study and for sermons. Not because we got a problem with her writings, it's because she specifically stated not to use her writings on the pulpit. And I look at a pulpit as like on Sabbath day during a church service and stuff like that, like when I actually put on a tie and stuff like that. You know, Friday night is, we're gathering in some places, some folks that are here now are on the West Coast, and it's not even Sabbath yet for them. So, still. It's, and then chapter 34 is titled, Can Our Dead Speak to Us? And this is what it says. It says, the ministration of holy angels, as presented in the scriptures, is a truth most comforting and precious to every follower of Christ. But the Bible teaching upon this point has been obscured and perverted by the errors of popular theology. The doctrine of natural immortality, first borrowed from the pagan philosophy, and in the darkness of the great apostasy, incorporated into the Christian faith, or the Dark Ages, as we call it today, has supplanted the truth so plainly taught in Scripture that the dead know not anything. This is one of the reasons I did that video about the state of the dead, because, I mean, the Bible is that blunt. It's just like with the rapture, or the seven-year trib, or the 1,000 years of peace on earth, supposedly, you know, like when Christ reigns on earth. None of that stuff's true. But if you go to a church that preaches it, there are certain Bible verses they will avoid like the plague, because if they share those verses from their pulpits, they know they will be exposed as liars when it comes to the so-called secret rapture or state of the dead or the seven-year trib or 1,000 years of peace, because those specific verses prove that their doctrine is not substantiated in the scripture. And so that's why I did those videos or those pages on the website to show, look, these are the verses they're not showing you. And I believe that's why the Lord uses the DVD the way he does, because it's all scripture and it's the ones that they're not getting. Especially if you get an NIV or a Douay Rheims or an NASB or a New King James. These Bibles have got thousands of verses missing. And the ones that they do leave in, that still have a little bit of a problem, that they have a little bit of a problem with, they'll rewrite them. So anyway, going on, it says, multitudes have come to believe that it is spirits of the dead who are the ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. And this notwithstanding the testimony of Scripture to the existence of heavenly angels and their connection with the history of man before the death of a human being. In other words, they totally blow off the fact of what the Bible says regarding angels being ministering spirits and not your dead grandma. And so it says, the doctrine of man's consciousness in death, especially the belief that spirits of the dead return to minister to the living, has prepared the way for modern spiritualism. If the dead are admitted to the presence of God and holy angels and privileged with knowledge of far exceeding what they before possessed, why should they not return to the earth to enlighten and instruct the living? If, as taught by popular theologians, spirits of the dead are hovering about their friends on earth, why should they not be permitted to communicate with them, to warn them against evil, or to comfort them in sorrow? Like the one, I don't know, I just heard this song one time when I think it was in Walmart or something like that, country and western song where the guy is singing and he says, Grandma's looking through the holes in the floors of heaven. Okay, first of all, the floors in heaven, the streets are made of gold, and why would there be a hole in the floor of heaven? I mean, there's no damage or rotting or aging up there. But she goes on to say that how can those who believe in man's consciousness in death reject what comes to them as divine light communicated by glorified spirits? Here is a channel regarded as sacred, through which Satan works for the accomplishment of his purposes. The fallen angels who do his bidding appear as messengers from the spirit world. While professing to bring the living into communication with the dead, the prince of evil exercises a bewitching influence upon their minds. And I honestly believe this is one of the reasons the Lord allowed me to experience the things that I experienced before I was a Christian, as well did my wife and our four oldest children. And the reason I say the four oldest children is because that at the right before the fifth child was conceived, I had found Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and our home life changed drastically. I went from being a person who had a live-in poltergeist, we called it, or a guy that was into telekinetic, psychokinesis, astral projection, face changing, mind control. Well, not mind control. I never really got into that. Didn't really understand it. But, I mean, it was just, I didn't want to mess with hypnosis because I thought that was ridiculous. And, but this stuff, I don't want to bring this up in a way that it glorifies the devil in any way, shape, or form, because he is Beelzebub. It's about as much respect as he's going to get from me. And I do respect my enemies in regards to I don't let them take advantage. You know, I grab onto Jesus Christ with white knuckles, you know. Yeah, amen. The glory is the Lord's. But we as a family have seen these things with our own little eyeballs. And so the stuff we saw and the stuff we experienced, and even the neighborhood kids that would come over because they wanted to experience, and then when they did, they would, of course, run out crying and scared. But then they would come back and they thought, oh, I'm cool now because I can be here. But it was a very, very easy thing to give up when I found Jesus, I'll tell you that, because, you know, no more, I mean, the dreams alone was much better. I couldn't stand those demonic dreams. But the way the devil does this, and it's just like, especially in like mental institutions, these people can see these things face to face. But because people look at them as being, you know, mentally disturbed, they don't believe them. You know, like the one time I walked into the mental institution with a pastor friend of mine, we were going to go minister to this one woman, and this one other woman comes walking up to us clutching a Bible and with a Band-Aid on her hand. And my pastor at the time actually says, what are you doing with the Bible? I says, well, I'm scared. I says, well, that's just a pile of pages. You do know that, right? And you try to, you know, share with her it's just a book, although it is powerful. It is not, you're not to worship it like an idol. And then he asked her, what's wrong with your hand? And she says, I was told to bite the finger off. And we asked her, who told you to bite your finger off? And she says, the faces that come out of the walls. And she was dead serious. And so this stuff, especially if, like, with Satanists and things, you know, people that get into it like that, they can conjure these things, thinking they're all powerful. But it's like those young guys that I saw on the street when they were with the long hair that came to get a job for me when I was doing telemarketing. And I just knew, because I was a young Christian at the time. I hadn't quit the business yet. And they come walking into the office, and the discernment was just there. I says, boy, I just stopped the interview in the middle and says, you guys are into demons, aren't you? And they both looked at each other like, whoa, dude. You know how the young, the way they are. And I says, if you think demons are powerful, you got to see what angels can do. Because you got to keep in mind, demons are fallen angels. Their power is extremely limited. They have to get permission for absolutely everything, as do the good angels. But the good angels have a pretty wide expanse of blessings that they, you know, and ministerial duties that they have for mankind. And hopefully, you know, the little conversation we had helped. I never hired the guys, but, you know, this stuff is real, what she's talking about here. People do think they're communicating, like that John Edwards guy that's on the TV recently, a couple, 3 years ago, and he was going to so-called get all the people that were killed in a Twin Tower thing and all. And they're just charlatans and stuff like that, most of these guys. But guys like him, with these extra, sometimes it appears like abilities, they could literally be communicating with demons, thinking they're people. And that's why, now, you got to keep this, and I'm sharing this for a reason. Because you may be approached by something like this in the days ahead. Who knows? I don't know. I just got an email just the other day about something that was way out there in left field. I get those on occasion, and I have to tell them, look, you know, it's not what you think. But there's a reason these things are believable, because we know the word says about guardian angels. They're from birth, right? We have an angel assigned to us, and they're there from birth. Well, there's also going to be a demon assigned there, but not by our father, by a long shot. No, I'm sure Satan has his ways of doing things, and he's, you know, got some kind of a demon assigned to somebody. And so these are super intelligent beings, okay? Not giving them any credit. I'm just saying that these are angels. They're super natural. Let's just put it that way. And they can make themselves look like, I mean, they can make themselves look like an angel of light, it says. And that's why they can look just like your dead grandma sitting at the end of your bed with the same clothing on, the same inflections in her speech, the same mannerisms, the same perfume, everything. Even the same way that her hair falls down and she whips it back or something, you know? Because that demon studied her for her whole life, and they knows all of her experiences and everything. They got photographic memories. These are angels, keep in mind. They would make human computers look like toys. And so that's why the Bible says to try the spirits to see if they are of God. Because like I said, I do get emails like this where people are saying that they believe their angel appeared to them, or they believe Jesus appeared to them and told them this or told them that, or Mary appeared or somebody. Yeah, says, well, first of all, the state of the dead, watch that video or whatever, but try the spirits if you have any doubt whatsoever. Do as the Bible says to do. She goes on to say that he has power to bring before men the appearance of their departed friends. The counterfeit is perfect. The familiar look, the words, the tone are reproduced with marvelous distinctness. Many are comforted with the assurance that their loved ones are enjoying the bliss of heaven, and without suspicion of danger, they give ear to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Have you ever seen that rock and roll video about that guy that exposed the industry of rock and roll? They killed him for that video. And he did it back in the 80s. And about how he talked about how when they would, like with the music, everything from the Celtic scene all the way to rock and roll, anything, any kind of music whatsoever, these music companies, just like Hollywood companies, there's only six Hollywood studios. I just found this out the other day. There's only six Hollywood studios that do any of the movies. And there's only like just about as many music studios that do it as well. These guys have that much control. And before they release any single, like in the music alone, they put it on a tape and they bring it to their temple. And every one of these studios have a temple in an upper room, and they conjure a demon, and then a demon assigns a demon to that music or that song or that video or that movie or whatever. And, okay, you might think this is all kind of crazy stuff and I'm talking off the wall, but watch the video if you see it on YouTube about how this guy talks about this and how this is why I tell my kids or anybody else is, if you're into any kind of strange music and you want to come to my home and spend some time here, do me a favor. Leave your stuff down the block. I don't even want it on my land, because I don't want Satan, him to have permission to be anywhere in my house, because I know demons are assigned to those songs and I know demons are assigned to those videos. Now, you may think I'm crazy and I'm like some nutty professor that's like got tinfoil on his head. Who cares? I don't care what you think of me. This is my house. Okay? This is the rules of this house. You don't do it. You just don't do it. I like having my prayers answered. It's that serious. But if you watch that video, you'll see this guy ain't kidding, and they killed him for it. If you don't believe demons are real, I would love to have a time machine and let you see some of the stuff me and my wife went through in the past. They're real. They're out there. And they can easily assign themselves and assign demons to these songs that you have. And every time you play the music, well, your good angel has to step out of the way. And the bad demon has to step up, because you have just given them permission to do so. It could be magazines, too. It could be novels. Well, especially novels. They're all fiction. Yeah, amen. That's just, yeah. But as for me and my house, we will love and serve the Lord. Joshua, what, 24:15? So going on, when they have been led to believe that the dead actually returned to communicate with them, Satan causes those to appear who went to the grave unprepared. Oh, I came back for a reason, because I wanted both die that day. You know, so whatever, you know. She says, They claim to be happy in heaven and even occupy exalted positions there, and thus the error is widely taught that no difference is made between the righteous and the wicked. The pretended visitants from the world of spirits sometimes utter cautions and warnings which prove to be correct. Then, now, Satan knows, you know, prophecy better than any human does, right? And so he's going to have an easy way of doing it, but he's always going to put a little bit of lies in there. Okay, he goes a little bit overboard with Catholicism, okay, I grant you that. 86% of Catholicism is not in the Bible. So he's a little overboard, I mean, but that's his trophy. But look at other religions. Look at the SDA Church, for example. That's got to be 86% truth. But it's got just enough of that satanic garbage in there to where, you know, you're steer clear. Revelation 18 verses 1 to 5 is pretty clear. So she goes on, then as confidence is gained, they present doctrines that directly undermine faith in scriptures. With an appearance of deep interest in the well-being of their friends on earth, they insinuate the most dangerous errors. I mean, case in point, what happened 3 years after Ellen White died? Mary, supposedly Mary, started to appear in Fatima, in Lourdes. You know, the Our Lady of Fatima apparitions? I mean, that was prophesied. You're going to start popping up all over the place. And ever since then, they have. And how the demon was able to do this, I don't know. I don't care. But they supposedly photographed the dancing sun. You know? And there were literally thousands of eyewitnesses to the fact that it was raining all day long. And when the sun started dancing, everybody got scared, started running, thinking the world was ending, of course. But all of a sudden, it stopped doing that. And they all stopped and looked around and go, of course, wiped their brows going, phew, it's not over yet. And then they look around and they noticed everything is dusty and dry. So all these little tricks of the eye and these hypnosis things that he uses and all these, even odors, and parfuming. Yes, like if you, because I knew some witches, they used to mess with that thing called parfuming. This is why it bothers me when I see Christians wearing perfume. I said, don't you realize what you're doing? There's a reason the moth has pheromones, okay? Well, when you use perfume, it just smells nice. Yeah, well, you don't realize this, but there's got to be at least one or two guys in that crowd of 100 guys over there that it just clicks with them and locks you in on, like you, all of a sudden you're just, they got to get you, you know. It's a pheromone thing. Because science has already proven. I mean, look at the commercials from that, well, I don't have TV anymore, but they have them on YouTube. You know, you got to sit through a commercial sometime to watch a video. That X cologne for men supposedly drives women crazy. I mean, there's a reason they witches get into what's called parfuming. There is a reason for this. So, oh yeah, that's a good, yeah. Thanks, Bonnie, about the music thing too. I'll share that in a little while. That Barry Manilow song, I carry that with me everywhere still to this day. Because every now and then, my first thing after I left the Catholic Church was I was exposing backward masking and the devil's method of using the music. I was definitely exposing Antichrist in the Catholic Church, but at this time, even though I was just starting to study it up and stuff like that, I had a lot of information about backward masking and all that other stuff because I was in and out of that library every day, just about. So I'll share that in a little while. Anyway, she goes on to say that the fact that they state some truths and are able at times to foretell future events gives to their statements an appearance of reliability, and their false teachings are accepted by the multitudes as readily and believed as implicitly as if they were the most sacred truths of the Bible. And this is why Our Lady of Fatima had, this is why you see the rosary in the Roman Catholic Church. A lot of people don't realize it's pagan. You go back in some of the etchings back in Egypt and Pharaoh's holding a rosary. Or you look at the voodoo churches and they've had rosaries for quite a long time. And then all of a sudden the Catholics started carrying around rosaries in 1915. She handed them to, you know, or Simon Stock with his vision. And all of a sudden they started wearing scapulars because Simon Stock was told by Mary to put this thing with a little brown cloth. It'll prevent you from being burned in the fires of hell. You could be a child molesting mass murderer for all Mary cares. If you got the scapular around your neck, you won't go to hell, period. And this is why John Paul II, when he got shot, insisted, don't cut that scapular off my neck. That little brown piece of cloth is his God, his salvation, when they had him in surgery. I used to wear a scapular. is to get them blessed. And then, you know, I wrapped them in a red thread and everything like that to make them last longer. And I didn't like the way they would hang down in your front and hang down in your back. I would just let them go around my neck only. But and people would ask me about them, and I would tell them what they were. Yeah, amen. In Matthew chapter 6 is pretty plain about when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, but that's all a rosary is. Over and over and over. And I could speed talk, so I would do a whole rosary in 45 minutes. Now it would take an hour because John Paul II, a few years ago, added the so-called decade of light. There's these three decades that you had to go through, and now there's another decade added, and they're like 15 minutes a pop if you were praying as fast as I did. Otherwise, it'd take you a little over an hour to do the three decades. So she goes on. The law of God is set aside, the spirit of grace despised, the blood of the covenant counted as an unholy thing. The spirits deny the deity of Christ and place even the Creator on a level with themselves. And this is why the Bible says to try the spirits to see if they are of God. And there's a whole mess of different ways that you can do that. It's not just saying, do you believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh? And they'll go, oh yeah, okay, let's shake hands. No, that's not how it works. Because they think, a lot of people think that if you just acknowledge, because I've had Catholics email and says, well, we say Jesus Christ came in the flesh. You can't say the popes are Antichrist. I says, yeah, well, you're not getting the whole picture here. First of all, you don't say Jesus Christ came in the flesh. I says, well, yes, we do. I says, no, well, how about the doctrine of original sin? And, of course, I get dead air crickets in the background, the whole nine yards. Because the doctrine of the original sin in Roman Catholicism is such that Jesus, well, all of us, let's say, all of us are born with original sin, otherwise known as the sin that Adam and Eve committed, the original sin. So when they ate that fruit, we, even though the Bible says that, you know, the sins of the father are not, you know, pushed on the kids or vice versa, they, the Catholic Church says, because what Adam and Eve did, we all have to suffer for what, for them biting that fruit. That's the original sin. We all have it. But Jesus does not have original sin, and Mary doesn't have it either all of a sudden. That happened only about 200-300 years ago, by the way, for Mary. So she had to wait a little while. But Jesus supposedly did not have original sin at birth. And where is original sin supposed to be located according to Catholic doctrine? In the flesh. So, Roman Catholicism is Antichrist, because they specifically state Jesus Christ did not have the flesh you and I have, which means he did not come in the flesh we have, and that's why the Bible said they ask him about that. But there's other doctrines too. Okay, if they get past that one, says, okay, which day is the Sabbath? And they'll say, of course, the demon or whatever standing in front of you will say Sunday. Well, okay, I got you there. You know, Exodus 8 verses 10 and 11 is pretty plain. Commandment number 4 says seventh day. So there's all different ways to ask the apparition or the appearance or the UFO, whatever they decide to pull. So she goes on. Thus, under a new disguise, the great rebel still carries on his warfare against God, begun in heaven, and for nearly 6,000 years continued upon the earth. Many endeavor to account for spiritual manifestations by attributing them wholly to fraud and sleight of hand on the part of the medium. But while it is true that the results of trickery have often been palmed off as genuine manifestations, because people have been doing that for many, many years. I mean, Chris Angel, he does this stuff, and Houdini exposed a whole bunch of people in his day that did that stuff. But she goes on to say, but there have been also marked exhibitions of the supernatural power, and that's why I was talking about what I was talking about earlier, because I knew she was going to get into this. Not because I read it. I think I read half of our Great Controversy. I never finished it. And I think we're almost done with it now. But we were talking about earlier about these things are real. You will see them if you are, of course, outside the Word of God and not walking as you should. Because none of us were walking as we should. This is why we were allowed to see them. I don't really know why I was allowed to see them. All I know is I can now use this to relate. And I have done it many times on the street. I don't often like to do it on a pulpit, for obvious reasons. I don't want to give the devil any kind of credit whatsoever. I just love to expose him for the Beelzebub he is. So she goes on, the mysterious wrapping with which modern spiritualism began was not the result of human trickery or cunning, but was the direct work of evil angels, who thus introduced one of the most successful of soul-destroying delusions. Many will be ensnared through the belief that spiritualism is a merely human imposture. When brought face to face with manifestations which they cannot but regard as supernatural, they will be deceived. and will be led to accept them as the great power of God. Isn't that something? It can literally be a demon. Literally, a demon can actually stand in front of them in all its hellish glory. And because it's supernatural, they can attribute it to God. She says, these persons overlooked the testimony of the scriptures concerning the wonders wrought by Satan and his agents. It was by satanic aid that Pharaoh's magicians were enabled to counterfeit the work of God. Remember when they made the water turn into blood, and they made the cane or the walking stick turn into a snake? And even though Moses' snake swallowed theirs up, and Moses' blood was nationwide, they still didn't believe. She says, Paul testifies that before the second advent of Christ, there will be similar manifestations of satanic power. And of course, 2 years, 3 years after Ellen White died, this is what we see here on planet Earth. What was it, 1918? I can't remember exactly. 1917, I think it was. I don't know. Who cares? She says, the coming of the Lord is to be preceded by the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivable of unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And the Apostle John, describing the miracle-working power that will be manifested in the last days, declares, he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do. Romans 13, verses 13 and 14. Now, when I see some of these UFO reports, and like this one that was recently caught at three different angles, and supposedly none of these guys were connected, but this orb of light came down and floated over the temple mound of the Muslims, and then all of a sudden made a big white flash, and it was a Jerusalem, whatever, and then shot up real quick and all that. And it was light that looks like fire coming down from heaven, or those three things that were floating over, where was it? Arizona or Colorado? I think it was Colorado. It looked like a phoenix. Yeah. It was like they looked like meteors falling or something like that, but they weren't falling. They were staying in one spot in the air. And then they split off in three, and that looked like fire, looked like a giant flame on a candle. And they separated and became three, and then four, and six, and then they disappeared really quick. And then they supposedly did it over New York and all this other stuff. So there's all different ways, and I'm sure it's going to get a lot worse. I mean, I can see them, like with this holographic technology. I can, and with all the aluminum particles that are floating in our atmosphere now because of, over a decade of them spraying chemtrails, I wouldn't put them past them to actually, because they've already talked about this in Science Digest, because I like reading about technological advances and stuff like that. Like sometimes I don't buy the magazines anymore, but, I go shopping for food with Fran, that's where I go, magazine aisle. I'd like to read the science stuff or the computer magazines. And, they're talking about how they can already do it where they can project any image they want into the atmosphere where it can be seen over an entire nation. And so imagine the Pope's face up there in the clouds, John Paul II, no less, with an angry look on his face. Or fire. Whatever. So she goes on to say that no mere imposters. Wait. Yeah, Maitreya. I ran into that guy back in when we were doing the Fire Talk days. When he was just starting out, he was trying to pull people out of the rooms. And I went in there three or four times and exposed him for what he was saying in front of many, many witnesses. And then all of a sudden, when you went into his room from that day forward, no one had the ability to speak on the microphone. His microphone was on permanently, and then he would talk, and these people in the background would sound like they had a real crummy mic. How anybody could understand him was beyond me. But they never had more than three or four people in there at a time, which told me they were all acting like they were in the room to make it look like it was busy. But he's doing stuff to this day, and he does use holographic technology, or it is actually Satan, one of his favorite demons, like with the waving of the hand and making all of a sudden this one room filled with food and live animals. But now this is what leads me to think of the blue beam and all this other stuff that they do with the technology, because we know holographic technology is pretty intense. And if we have what we have in our hands as just common citizens, we know the government's got 25 to 30 years of advanced technology behind their doors. And so, and then when you look at what Maitreya did that day in regards to the food appearing, before he appeared, everybody was told that he was going to appear in this one room. And they had this one section of the room, half the room was cordoned off with like those ropes that you see at banks, the big felt ropes, in little metal stands that, you know, all around so no one could pass it, right? Because I got a feeling in my mind that if they would have passed those ropes, they would have walked into the room that already had all the food and already had the live animals. But there was a holographic image of an empty room just on the other side of those ropes to make it look like the room was empty so that when Maitreya stood there and he waves his arm, they turn off the hologram, and then boink, it looks like he made all that food appear. So, because they have that, we have that technology now to do that. And they already, they also have technology, the hologram where you can touch it. And they actually, on YouTube, look for where it's like water drops falling on a guy's hand. It's a hologram of water drop hitting you, and right when it touches your hand, a little burst of air hits you. Feels like you got a piece of, like a drop of water hit you. And keep in mind, that's common man's technology. That's not government technology. You know, if we can do that at this point, imagine what they're doing behind closed doors. So, but still, demonic things are a little bit more intense, right? So, but Maitreya, he does appear to be a regular guy just playing his part, while at the same time, there's an awful lot of demonic activity around this guy, too. So, all right, going on. No mere impostors are here foretold. Men are deceived by the miracles which Satan's agents have power to do, not which they pretend to do. So amen to that. The Prince of Darkness, who has so long bent the powers of his mastermind to the work of deception, skillfully adapts his temptations to men of all classes and conditions, to persons of culture and refinement. He presents spiritualism in its more refined and intellectual aspects, and thus succeeds in drawing many to his snare. Now, what she's talking about here about the persons of culture and refinement, and when the devil appears to them, he's going to be a lot more intense and a lot more intellectual and a lot more, you know, refined and stuff like that. These are politicians. This is why you see Hillary Clinton walking, or no, was it Nancy Reagan? No, I think it was George Bush's wife, not Junior, Senior. What was her name? Martha? No, it wasn't Martha. Barbara Bush, yeah. I don't know if it was her or Hillary, or it was one of the most recent, could have been Nancy Reagan, who used to walk around on the roof of the White House. I'm not talking about where the shingles and stuff are. There's like balcony area where they can walk around up there. And she used to talk to, who was it, Eisenhower? One of the dead first ladies. And I wouldn't put it past, I wouldn't doubt if she actually heard her voice or even saw her. Because some of these, the things these people do that are so overwhelmingly evil, and they do it with such big smiles on their face, like they're doing the right thing and they're believing in their hearts that they are doing the best for mankind that they can. There has to be a major influence behind all that. Because they're just people like you and me. I don't care how refined and how much culture they got. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like you and I do, and get up in the morning and brush their teeth the whole nine yards, right? So this is one of the reasons some of us will end up before the magistrates. They need to hear what we know. Because these people, like Kevin just said, they're starved for the truth. They just don't. You know, they don't have what we have. And this is why some of us will end up behind bars, because we got to sit in front of a judge. I mean, look at Joseph ending up there in Egypt. There's a reason. You know, you may not like the reason, the trial you're going through, but at the end, it's like, that's why he needs to trust you. Will you do what he wants you to do? She says, the wisdom with which spiritualism imparts is that described by the Apostle James, which descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. James 3:15. I'm being pulled here to go back a little bit. The Prince of Darkness, who has so long bent the powers of the mastermind with deception. Wait, go back anymore. No mere impostures are here foretold. So what that leads me to believe that Maitreya, I would lean more towards him being demonic than holographic, if you know what I mean. Because if Sister White is saying that no mere impostures are here foretold, then, again, I would have a tendency to lean towards him being demonic. Oh, thank you, Rose. It was Hillary, and it was Eleanor Roosevelt. Okay. And now look at Hillary today. she is like the most influential first lady in the history of the American politics. And who wouldn't, who you know, I mean, she was obvious. It was a meeting of the minds. It wasn't a marriage between her and Bill. I mean, just the way Bill was, you know, and the way she is. Political, whatever. So, anyway, where's my mouse? Okay, there it is. So going on. Yeah, okay, the James 3:15, it's earthly, sensual, devilish, okay? It goes on. This, however, the great deceiver conceals when concealment will best suit his purpose. He who, and this is, you know, here's a good way to look at that. You can run into all sorts of people today don't believe a devil exists because it works best for them to think that way. That way they can do even more evil in life. Or the people that don't believe in creationism. They want to believe in evolution. Why? Well, think about it. Just go down to the brass tacks on this one. It's easy to see it. Why they would want to go after, evolution. Because if they acknowledge they were created, then that means they have to answer to a God. That's the reason. It's just that basic. It's just that base. It's just that childish. They don't want to believe in evolution. They don't want to believe in creationism because they have to be, then they have a responsibility. But if they believe in evolution, well, that, come on, I evolved from a monkey. I mean, who do I got to answer for? Whoop-de-doo, you know? And so, but if they have to answer to a God, then they got a lot to answer, they got a lot to answer for. And they're not prepared to do that. So going on, he who could appear clothed with the brightness of the heavenly seraphs, before Christ in the wilderness of temptation, comes to men in the most attractive manner as an angel of light. And that's why I always said to this day, when the devil does what he does, or even if he doesn't appear to you, he's going to send somebody that he wants to get you with. I mean, he's not going to appear to you as like some demon from the pits of hell smelling a sulfur with maggots dripping off of him. No, he's going to come up to you as your best friend. In whatever fashion you want to think of that. It could be a guy, a girl, anybody. She says, he appeals to the reason by presentation of elevating themes. He delights the fancy with enrapturing scenes, and he enlists the affections by his eloquent portrayals of love and charity. That reminds me of that song again. He excites the imagination to lofty flights, leading men to take so great pride in their own wisdom that in their hearts they despise the Eternal One, that mighty being who could take the world's Redeemer to an exceedingly high mountain and bring before him all the kingdoms of the earth and the glory of them, will present his temptations to men in a manner to pervert the senses of all who are not shielded by divine power. And this is why you get these poor souls like Britney Spears or Lady Gaga for that matter. Man, the name alone, obvious. And who was the one that just died? Winehouse. Yeah, Amy Winehouse. You know, she just died of all, and Michael Jackson. The fame and all that, the devil shows them like he did with Jesus. He tried to, you know, he showed them all the bells and whistles, all the beauties of the kingdoms and all this other stuff if he bowed down and worshipped him. He doesn't show them the wars, the disease, the decadence, the disasters. He doesn't show them any of that. None of the death, none of that, no blood and guts, none of that. You know, but the same things with the people. And they fall for it. Because for some reason, well, obviously the reason is because they don't have the wisdom. If you're not in the scriptures, then you're not going to think, okay, well, you're showing me I'm going to have a Rolex watch on each wrist if I want. I'm going to have Gucci shoes and Armani suits, a brand new Lexus or a Mercedes, a $2 million home. Everybody around the world will know me and love me. But, look, I read the Bible, and I also know there's going to be disease and decadence. I'm going to go to hell for all eternity, so no thanks. No, they don't think that way. And to get to the little guy, you know, this is one of the most annoying things to me, anyway, ever since I found Christ, is the way people will go to hell. They'll literally go to hell for a few moments of pleasure in rock and roll or any kind of music. It could be Celtic to rock and roll, whatever it is. Any kind of music. they'll literally sell their souls just to listen to this garbage, not realizing Satan is singing to them. He's the angel of music. That's what the Bible says. He's got musical instruments in his body. And they'll give up all the blessings. They'll give up all the wisdom that they're going to need to get into the scriptures. They're going to give up everything that God has to offer so they can listen to a 3-minute song. Because that's the gist of it, right? Most songs are 3 minutes, 2.5, 3 minutes, right? Which again reminds me, I'm not going to go home if I get on the web at one place, but I got it right here in my wallet. Carry it with me everywhere. Well, I also got that one letter from State Management where they says, "Don't, if you preach your Jesus anymore to the residents of our apartment complex where I was doing the management and the remodeling, you will be fired." I still carry that with me too. All right, I'm going to read you a song, the words to a song. The Pope wears Prada. Yeah, see that, those red shoes and that Santa Claus hat and all that stuff. The guy is really into the flesh here. But then again, every Pope is. That's all it is. That's all it's about. I'm going to turn on this light. Okay. Now, this is a song that supposedly Barry Manilow wrote, but no. The song says, "I write the songs." Barry Manilow sang it in 1976. It was the number one Billboard, number one thing or whatever. And the music and the words for the song were written by a man named Bruce Johnson, which means Barry Manilow didn't write the song. He says he's writing the songs for, right? And Bruce Johnson stated in writing that he wrote this song in 20 minutes, just like Jimmy Page wrote The Stairway to Heaven in 20 minutes. But he went a little further in Hit Parader and it says, "After I prayed to Satan." That's what he said. Well, not those words exactly, but. Now, listen to these words of this song. And here's the thing, that when I heard the song for the first time in the 70s, I'm a teenager at this time. And I'm thinking, okay, it's Barry Manilow, Mr. Lovey-Dovey singing, with his beautiful voice, because the guy had pretty good control over his voice. He's singing this, and he usually sings all these lovey-dovey songs, and it's I'm thinking, what's up with these words, dude? I mean, it's like way out there. I mean, what are you on? It's like, yeah, these words didn't make no sense to me until I became a Christian. And I thought, whoa, this is like Satan's coming out song. He was literally flexing his muscles and saying, "Look, I'm writing these songs, and you people are falling for it." Because Satan is the angel of music. That's what the Bible says. He was the one that sang above the golden cherubs, and, you know, he did all these things for the Lord. And also keep in mind why the demon that was, or the demons that were in Legion, asked the Lord to cast them into the pigs. Because now, I can't back this up with Scripture or Ellen White's writings, right? Because I don't know if it's in Ellen White's. I know it's not in Scripture, but I don't know if it's in Ellen White's writings. But the demons prefer to be in you or any living being because it makes them feel more powerful and more young, because they're thousands and thousands and thousands of years old, and they know they don't have much longer to live, and to be young again, even though they're very old, makes them feel more powerful to some extent and happy, and they can forget about the past. It's kind of like a guy that's having troubles in life drinking a beer, you know. But yeah, it's on the bottom of this page on the site that Bonnie just put in the room. It's a newsletter I did back in 1999, and it was September 2nd, as a matter of fact. If you look at that's the date is the URL there. Again, keep in mind, this is the angel of music singing. And these are the words. It says, "I've been alive forever, and I wrote the very first song." Right there. Doesn't that give you chills up your spine? Because that's exactly... He's telling some truth here, right? Now, he's been alive as forever as far as we're concerned. And he did write the very first song, so as much as we understand, because I know that the Bible also says God will sing to us when we go to heaven. So he could be lying there too, but he was the angel of music, so it looks believable. All right? Next stanza. It says, "I put the words and the melodies together. I am music, and I write the song or songs." And now he can say, "I am music" again, because he's got musical instruments built in his body. I think it's in the Ezekiel, right? somebody wants to look it up. Oh, thank you. Bonnie, put it up there. It's 28:13, Ezekiel 28:13. It says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardus, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou was created. So tabrets are kind of like a tambourine. And a pipes, you ever see those like old centaurs in the mythology, the guy that's half horse and half man? And he's got that weird flute-looking thing that's got the tall pipe on one end, and it graduates down to a smaller pipe, and he just, you know, he blows across it like a harmonica, or, yeah, like kind of like a harmonica. That's what pipes look like. Right? And those two things are musical instruments built inside of his body. So he can say, I am music, and I write the song. So here's the chorus. It says, I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love and special things. Just like Sister White was talking about, right? All the kissy-kissy hug-hug stuff, right? And I write the songs that make the young girls cry. I write the songs. And now listen to this stanza, this section here of the song. He says, my home lies deep within you. I've got my own place in your soul. Now think about this. It's in the 70s. I'm listening. Barry Manilow usually singing about girls and stuff, right? And all this. What do these words mean? What are you talking about, Barry? I mean, it's just like weird. Anyway, he says, I've got my own place in your soul. Let me start over. My home lies deep within you, and I've got my own place in your soul. Now when I look out through your eyes, I'm young again, even though I'm very old. And then he goes, here's the chorus again. Well, you see the chorus, and then here's the last stanza or whatever. It says, oh, my music makes you dance and gives you spirit to take a chance. Now what he means there is, any one of us, when you were young, and you're driving down the road, and I used to do this when I was a teenager, and I'm driving down the road, and everything's hunky-dory, I'm only doing about 5, maybe 10 miles over the limit, and my favorite song comes on the radio, and guess what happens? I decide to take a chance, because that's my song. So I'm going to get it up on two wheels if I can, right? It's like this hot rod nuke, or anything, you know? It's like with the guys in football, in practice. The coach will sometimes rev them up with music. And who else uses music to rev the crowd? Well, the protesters, they use it. Look what they did at David Koresh. What was it? Waco. Yeah, that too. Yeah, songs have a tendency to evoke people back into nostalgia. And, in other words, perfuming does that too. You can hear a song that you haven't heard in many, many years, and it just brings you back. And you start thinking about your loved ones that you haven't seen in years or the ones that have died, and you're just like getting all melancholy. And smells, too. Like all of a sudden you'll smell something you haven't smelled in years, and it just reminds you of someone or something. Okay? It's a method of, neuro-linguistic programming, they use that, especially on tougher crowds. They'll have a spray that they'll spray on the crowd and make them think the Holy Spirit is present. They used to do that the Christian fellowship thing out there in Tinley Park, Illinois, way up in the rafters, about 30 feet above the crowd. There was these aerosol cans filled with rose aerosol, just like air freshener. And they would spray it, and it would take about 5 minutes for it to wash its way down to the crowd, and then the pastor would start acting like he's going into a trance, and the Holy Spirit's coming up on him, and everybody starts smelling it. He's, oh, that's got to be the Holy Spirit. So he started talking. It was really ridiculous, because I saw the can. I happened to be there one day, and I looked up, and I saw something squirting out of a can. And then 5 minutes later, this is all this. You got to be kidding me. So going on. Let me finish this chorus again, this last one. It says, all my music makes you dance and gives you spirit to take a chance. And I wrote some rock and roll so you can move. Music fills your heart. Well, that's a real fine place to start. It's from me. It's for you. It's from you. It's for me. It's a worldwide symphony. And it is. I mean, take Michael Jackson, for example. He has got fans all around the planet just because of his music. And I happen to be watching, because somebody sent me a video in regards to Michael Jackson, knew he was going to be murdered. Michael Jackson tried to get out of the lifestyle. They infected him with that weird disease that made his skin turn colors, and so he had to put on all the makeup to make himself look white. And they even tried to make him look like a molester. Who knows if he was? I'm not going to judge the man. He tried to get out of it. And just like other people that have tried to get out of it, and he ends up dead, right? And he talked about certain things that I guess they didn't like. But my point was how they were talking about how he had this overwhelming talent. And they have this other video on YouTube where it talks about rock stars and all them actually literally saying that they sold their souls to the devil, and then boom, they made all these billions, millions of dollars rather, and had all this crazy talent. Like when Michael Jackson would write a album, he would write 120 songs and there would only be like 10 songs on the album. The guy was insanely talented, but it wasn't from God, you know, it's so sad, but he tried to get out of the life, and they, who knows if it was, they killed him. I mean, the guy was busted for manslaughter just the other day, as a matter of fact, the doctor, and he was a Mason. So, yeah, there you go, the hip-hop artists are doing that too now. Yeah, John Todd, yeah, that's the guy. Thanks, John or Mary. John Todd. Look for John Todd on the on YouTube, and he'll tell you all this stuff about the rock and roll stuff. But this is this thing with Barry Manilow. When I saw that, when I became a Christian, because I became a Christian in 1985. This song came out in 76. So it's only 9 years later that, praise the Lord, that all of a sudden I ran across, because I was getting into the, trying to help my brother get out of this one band he was in. Because I knew he was headed downhill. I just felt that something bad was going to happen. And sure enough, he tried to kill himself twice. And I didn't want my little brother to die. And then I saw them messing with one of my nephews. So I went after them for that. But and now he's a severe alcoholic. Because they started messing when he was 12. Because at 12, he looked like he was 18. Big kid. Anyway, keep your prayers going strong for your loved ones, the young ones. They are literally the focus of Satan's attack today, especially today. And then no one has any time to read the Bible with the video games, the iPads, the MP3 players, all of it. Everybody's more interested in what, like the prophecy said, pleasures of the flesh. It's on, I got that one book I wrote, People Get Ready, on the site. It's in the prophecy section. You know, all the prophecies have happened. I mean, there's only a few left that I didn't list on that page that are going to happen. I only listed the ones that were fulfilled. Quite a few. A lot of people don't even know they were fulfilled, too. So anyway, if you can get on your knees, let's do so. Let's finish in prayer. Bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence. Thank you for blessing us with an ability to share the truth with as many as you put in our path. Thank you for blessing the work we do and the work that all the people do all around the world that are part of this movement, even though we haven't met them yet. We lift them up to you, Lord, because we know they're out there. We feel alone at times, but we would pray and hope that we would have a church in our own little neck of the woods, but we understand that you have us widely scattered all around the world for a reason. Because when the loud cry goes forth, it's not going to be very effective if we're all in one town. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us with the courage and the firmness of heart to stand firm in, you know, our loneliness for fellowship in that, for each other, you know, with each other. Thank you for giving us a hug every now and then to let us know that we're all going to be able to meet on the Crystal Sea anyway and give each other big old bear hugs for all eternity. So thank you for blessing us and blessing those that you put in our path. And again, all those that are on our prayer list, thank you. Thank you for the trials, and thank you for the good times, and thank you for blessing them all with answered prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.